Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Katie Edgman. Katie is the owner of Humboldt Spice Company. Katie, have you always lived in Humboldt County?
I was born here. When I was young, my parents split up, and then I moved to Oregon. So I went from first grade through my junior year in high school in Oregon, but always came back here for vacations with my dad, and because my dad and my brother lived here. So I'd always come back here for vacation time.
And you knew you wanted to come back to live
here? It was always home, yeah, definitely. So I came back here after high school.
Okay. And what sorts of jobs have you had over the years? Have you had jobs that involved food or?
Not so much. I mean, when I started out, I worked at, my dad owned the meat market in Ferndale. And so I worked for him there, you know, helping do meat things in the back. And then in the front, there was a deli. So I worked in the deli. Other than that, I worked at Round Table Pizza. That's, you know, my other food related job, I suppose. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Did you have people that kind of encouraged you as you grew up to love food and get involved in food and cooking?
Well, yeah, me and both my grandparents, my grandmas and my mom, they're all great cooks. And I grew up on a, when I moved away from here to Oregon, I grew up on a cattle ranch. So we had a big garden and, you know, had our own beef. And I was always around producing your food in that way. So.
Now, how did you get involved in trying to make rubs or salts or things like that and spices?
Well, my dad always, at the meat market, he always had the a really great meat rub recipe that he used. So, and I knew that, you know, he had always thought about maybe packaging it and selling it beyond just using it at the meat market. And then he passed away when I was 18, and my brother and I inherited everything of his, so the, you know, the meat market, the recipe, all of it. My brother and I, for a long time, didn't do anything with the recipe, so I finally, you know, decided I want to make something of it.
And did you use that recipe a lot at home when you cooked?
Yeah, like every time we'd cook meats or, you know, grilled veggies, even popcorn. So, yeah,
I was wondering about the grilled veggies because I'm thinking, you know, those sorts of combinations, people sometimes forget about that, about roasting vegetables or grilling vegetables by adding those sorts of flavors.
It's so simple, just a little bit of olive oil and then a little bit of seasoning on it right before you cook it. It makes it a whole different thing.
It does. It kind of caramelizes the vegetables, it seems like, and makes them even more delicious. Mm-hmm. What are the different products that you're selling through Humboldt Spice Company?
So I have the original rub recipe I started with, which is Humboldt Rub. I have a version of that that I took out most of the salt. So that's my herbal rub. It has a tiny bit of smoked salt in it, but otherwise it's pretty much salt-free and all the same ingredients as the original Humboldt Rub. Then I also have a Bloody Mary mix, which can be used for a drink mix or as a food seasoning. It's a dry rub. It's just a kind of a spicier version of the original.
How would you make a Bloody Mary with that?
You would take about a teaspoon and a half of the seasoning and mix it with about 6 ounces of tomato juice or V8 and then add vodka.
Okay. So easy. And you can put it on vegetables too.
That too. Yeah.
Why is a rub important when you're cooking meat? What is it? What does it do to the meat to make it different?
Well, the salts in the rub kind of help tenderize the meat a little bit. And then they also help kind of, when you mix the salt with the herbs, it helps kind of pull the flavor of the herbs into the meat as it kind of breaks it down. So it gets a more intense flavor opposed to just putting the rub on top right before you cook it.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard it referred to as a dry brine.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So rather than, because a lot of people brine their meat, like maybe brine a turkey before Thanksgiving or something, but you're putting that on and kind of mixes with the liquids that are in the meat to kind of make a brine.
Right. So yeah, if you were going to do a roast or something, you could put it on about a day ahead of time, just kind of pat it all around the outside and then just put it back in the fridge and the juices with the meat and makes it wonderful.
Oh, it sounds good. So you add salt to the rub. Is there a specific type of salt that you use when you make the rub?
I use a sea salt for most of my products. I do have one other product, too. It's called a Simple 7 rub that I use a Himalayan salt with. People generally, if they do a traditional rub, they use a coarser salt. But for my recipe, I've always used just a fine salt, and it's just a sea salt, though.
So are there any sweeteners that you add to your rub? I've noticed going online, kind of looking at rubs and things, that sometimes people add something like brown sugar or, you know, something that adds a little sweetness.
Right. I don't use any sweeteners in mine at all. I just I stick to the basic recipe that I inherited. And then I don't like to cook with a lot of sugars when I cook. So it's just not something I wanted to add to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of tested it in your own kitchen, and so you figured out this works.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if people want to go there, they can always add sugar.
What sort of savory flavors go into the recipes?
There's garlic, onion, marjoram, oregano, celery, you know, a few other things thrown in there. Yeah.
And anything spicy? Do you put any peppers in there?
I use a mild chili pepper roast, and then for the Bloody Mary mix, some cayenne and horseradish goes into it.
Oh, horseradish.
And then paprika, a little bit of paprika in all of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. When you put horseradish in, do you dry it first?
Yeah, it's a dry powdered horseradish.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you could do that with horseradish. That's interesting.
Wonderful.
How do you source the ingredients for your rubs? Are any of those locally sourced or?
No, they're all from Sacramento, from a company in Sacramento. I haven't found a lot of local producers that actually get it all the way down to a powdered or ground form. I mean, there's a lot of great people that produce ingredients here, but they don't process them, or I haven't found a lot that are processed, and I don't have the time or the desire to do all the processing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when you've got a lot to do there anyway, just making the blends and getting out there marketing things. Where's your business located at, and where do you produce the actual rubs?
I have a cottage food business, so I work out of my home in Fortuna, out of my home kitchen.
Okay. How was that to go through that process of the cottage food certification?
It was pretty painless. You know, it wasn't too hard. The local health department made it really easy. I have a Class B permit, which means I can sell to stores and restaurants as well. So they came and inspected my kitchen. It was pretty painless.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's great. So you get to work out of your home.
Yep. Beautiful.
Where do you sell your products?
Local grocery stores, and I sell them also at craft fairs and holiday fairs.
How have you developed the marketing for your materials?
I took an entrepreneurship class at College of the Redwoods years ago, and then I've taken a few of the small business classes from the Small Business Development Center here in town, which has kind of given me a little bit of guidance as to what to try to do for marketing.
How about your labels? Your labels are pretty unique.
Thank you. I do enjoy graphic design stuff. I looked at a lot of different things that I liked the idea of, just different things that grabbed my eye. I worked with Sunny Wong, and so I showed him some different things and kind of gave him an idea of how I wanted it laid out, and together we came up with an idea.
That's nice. Yeah. I mean, there's so many ideas out there that sometimes just looking at what other people have done and just, you know, pulling elements from them can make it a much simpler process.
Right.
Yeah. What other ways have you found that people are using your products that are more interesting or different from just using them for meats and roasts?
Soup bases, popcorn. I hadn't really thought of that before. You know, some other people said, wow, that'd be great with popcorn. I was like, okay. The whole reason I got started with the Bloody Mary mix is because a lot of people would smell the original Humboldt rub that I made, and it has a lot of celery in it. So they would smell it and they say, wow, that would be such a great Bloody Mary mix. I'm not traditionally a tomato person. So I was like, well, okay, if you say so. So I went ahead and I tried to make one mix with it, and I came up with a pretty good recipe. So yeah.
So did you get your friends over and have them do a tasting, or, you know, I'm imagining, how do you decide?
I gave some out to my friends so they could try it at home. Yeah.
Okay. That's a good way to get around to doing that stuff.
And then they can play around with it too if they want to, you know, add some of this or some of that and say, hey, you should try this, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And now the popcorn, putting it on popcorn, is it just, do you make popcorn and put it on there? Because I was thinking it would be really good on kettle corn.
Oh, that would be yummy.
That would be, because then you'd have that kind of sweet and the spicy all mixed together and then those flavors.
Or maybe the spicy one, the Bloody Mary.
The Bloody Mary mix might be really good on kettle corn.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's something for people to try. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Katie Edgman from Humboldt Spice Company. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you very much.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.